This is Radio Prague. It has been a constant companion for generation after generation of Czech science lovers, the popular science magazine Vesmír, and it's marking its 140th year in publication. In today's Science Journal, we talk about the magazine's course through the decades with none other than its editor-in-chief, Dr. Ivan Havel, the distinguished former head of the Center for Theoretical Studies and brother of ex-president Václav Havel, who took up work at the magazine just after the Velvet Revolution.
I was originally involved in Civic Forum, but I didn't want to become a politician like other people. And I was always inclined to scientific activity. And that time, the people from Vesmír came that they would like to make a new flavor of Vesmír, more open and more new and so. And it looked attractively, so I agreed. But it's not my main job. I was director of Center for Theoretical Study, and this was something like to have a secondary interest or so.
So it began as a hobby, kind of, like a secondary?
As a hobby, actually, because I'm not paid from Vesmír. I'm just helping them with something. And for 20 years, almost 20 years, I wrote editorials, which I meant more as essays with certain ideas or something, not just a regular editorial as in journals is. And so this was my only contribution to Vesmír, because otherwise the office of the editorial office is very effective. They do a lot of work which I am not able to follow and to the less to influence.
So this year marks 140 years of Vesmír as a magazine or as a publication. What were those early years like? What were the early issues?
Actually, it's an interesting story, because Vesmír started in 1871, and it was the first person who was actually doing everything for Vesmír was Mr. Kampoš, 25 years old student of medicine. And he did everything, publishing, collecting articles, writing articles, everything. Unfortunately, he passed away after 4 years or so, and then Vesmír was in hands of a very well-known Czech scientist, Antonín Fridž, and he did a lot of work until the beginning of 20th century. What is more interesting is the style of the Vesmír. The first orientation was for general public, even for students, even for high school students. The language of the articles in Vesmír was very nice. Nice Czech language with a lot of metaphors and poetic way of expressing things. And so this was the first period.
And what was the focus? Was it all science?
I think the emphasis on natural sciences, and among natural sciences to biology and all the living environment.
Which was probably the most popular of popular sciences at that time in the 18th century.
Yeah, it was the popular way. And the problem is that, you see, the term natural sciences sometimes includes mathematics and physics, sometimes not. And it usually doesn't include humanities. Now we have a lot of problems with that. Anyway, in this late 19th century, the real exact sciences, like mathematics and physics, were considered something which is not attractive to people. It's difficult to understand and difficult to explain things. But to talk about animals and life in the nature and trees and the flowers and mushrooms was very much easy to write and easy to read. So usually that period of Vesemir was oriented towards that. Then I do not know too much about the period in the early 20th century, but I was a subscriber and devoted reader of Vesemir after the Second World War, when it was still relatively open to, let's say, students and not quite scientifically educated people. During the communist regime, it was a strange period when Vesemir was very much dependent on the official doctrine, but at the same time, it was one of the few places when Vesemir could somewhat put forth ideas which were not quite accepted by the communist regime.
Can you give me an example?
Example is some articles by Jan Patočka in early 50s about Comenius, for example, and the discussion about quantum mechanics, the dispute between determinism and non-determinism in quantum mechanics, wide philosophical ideas. You see, the issue was that Marxist-Leninist doctrine was very much in favor of determinism, and quantum mechanics is by nature something which includes non-determinism into the world. And so the dispute was sensitive. You see, for that period, what was important, not necessarily the basic ideological ideas, but already the language. That the language was not influenced by Marxist style of the speech. There were not necessary so much references to Marx and Engels and Lenin and Stalin. And in certain sense, for us young readers, it was a very nice side track to what was obligatory to teach in schools and in universities.
A kind of escape, I guess.
Yeah, kind of escape. So, and now the last period was actually after the Velvet Revolution, when everything was open, there was freedom of speech, freedom of travel, and freedom of everything. So we decided to open Vesemir to wider scope of ideas, not to be very strictly oriented to certain scientific attitude, and give word to alternative thoughts. And also, we decided slightly to open to humanities, not only to restrict ourselves to natural sciences, but also to include articles and essays or studies from sociology, philosophy, other humanities, which might be interested, well, which should be interesting even for art scientists.
In the late 19th century, the word Vesemir didn't exactly have the same meaning as it does today. Today, the word Vesemir means space, as in outer space. What connotation did it actually have at the time when the magazine first came out?
The term Vesemir is very interesting. In Slavic languages, it actually means universe. Everything, just everything. Vesemir in Russian means all world. And the term space, as it is used in English now, this means cosmic space, I think in Czech was never too much emphasized. We say immediately cosmic space. We do not say space. But it's not Vesemir. Vesemir is universe. You see, if it is a title of a journal, it becomes just a title of the journal. It doesn't have its semantic or etymologic importance. So Vesemir is not really restricted to astronomy. As some people think still, when it is called Vesemir, it should be concerned with astronomy.
So it's kind of like more like the word cosmos, the way it was originally meant in Greek. Like
maybe, yeah, yeah. This would be just to look on the world in which we all live and which transcends our daily life and goes everywhere. And various sciences took usually a certain fragment of that world and studied that fragment.
What lies ahead for the magazine, would you say? Do you think it will go on in the same format, in the same way, for many more decades to come? Or do you foresee some kind of greater transformation?
Probably we do not expect some radical transformation. We would prefer to fill our intentions, which is not always easy. Because, you see, to ask hard-working scientists to write an article for Westmere is very difficult. You see, the idea which we were trying to put forth after the revolution was relatively high-level topics which are readable to scientists from other disciplines. So to write about, say, genetics in a way which would be readable for somebody from mathematics or physics. And that means that it would be readable also to young people, to high school students, which also are not narrow-minded to a certain concrete field and may be interested in wider topics. These things would be important in the future as well as now. But the question is whether it will work well to realize that idea.